One nation, one station. Hi FM.
Luba, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Didn't I was joining the John Burks show this morning?
Yeah, that takes us back. All right. So just to tell everybody, KitchenEek have just opened their online shop for you. A wealth of treasure awaits you. So go and have a look at KitchenEek. Their website is absolutely amazing. It's really, really incredible. It's kitcheneek.co.za. And we've been playing the KitchenEek Find Your Treasure competition. It is 8:38. So Luba Mayakiso, the whole story around the Chief Justice, I asked Howard Saxton his view earlier. Your view, your thoughts on the reaction to the Chief Justice saying that he loves Jews and Israel, Palestine and Palestinians, and that he's a Christian, and he believes as well that the ANC have lost out on the ability to play an important role. Lots of reaction from the official sources, but not very much reaction from normal South Africans, which I thought interesting. But give me your thoughts.
Yeah, Howard, I think the average South African is really too preoccupied with COVID-19, to be quite honest with you. And that's where their focus is, and I think that's where the focus for most people should actually be, rather than on what the Chief Justice said. But having said that, I think it's interesting that he made those comments, because I would guess he would have known that he would have drawn a lot of criticism for making those comments, and he still did. And that's his personal view. So one has to applaud him for that. But at the same time, he is going to get himself caught into, quite a lot of tangles with it, because I've spoken with a few, friends who are senior in the legal profession. And even those who are Christians say, we agree with him, but we think he shouldn't have said it. Mm. And I think there lies a problem. I said to somebody, had he come out against Israel, I don't think he would have got a quarter of the, the same
that's
people
were saying
it now, would have said nothing. They would have kept quiet, and they would have probably applauded him for being courageous and speaking the truth in their minds. So the issue for me is not so much that he spoke or gave a personal opinion, but it's the substance of that opinion that's upsetting people, not that he spoke. And I think that's where I think the double standards. Constitutionally, I think he's done nothing wrong, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't express your view. But Howard, it does raise the challenge of, if you're in high office or in a fairly public visible office, do you just absolutely have no life whatsoever? Because I think to say to a person, you can never express any opinion wherever. For goodness sakes, you could be sitting in a dinner table with some friends and express an opinion, and somebody can go out and quote you. And I think for me, that's a problem. The issue for me should be, one, a person can recuse themselves. Secondly, the track record, do we think that he will compromise his neutrality on this issue? I don't think he will. But it does become very interesting that people are so upset that he can't give his personal view.
And I find it amazing how he's gone from hero to zero, just within some people's eyes, because he has a view that they don't agree with.
Yes, look, I think it'll probably blow over. The issue here at stake, the ANC is very angry, but truth be told, he's not a deployee. He's not like on the top 300. He was deployed by the ANC. So his views, if truth be told, his views are more contrary to ANC policy than they are to SA government policy, because the SA government has a more balanced, nuanced stance on Israel until, it downgraded the embassy. So the party itself would be upset, and I think would have reasons to be upset. But again, the question that I'm asking myself is, on what basis though? Because if you're saying you've got a high ranking member who steps out of line, then you have an issue. But if Howard makes a statement, if he's not necessarily one of the leaders in your party, then what's the problem? And the challenge I think for him is, or rather I think he's done well by keeping quiet. The storm I think is getting bigger than it should have, because more people are getting into it. The various parties defending him and those criticizing him. And I think that's what's giving it traction, because if truth be told, he made the comment and he hasn't surfaced again. which is probably, you know, the wise thing for him to do. Right now you've got, you know, groups defending him and some attacking him. And that's what's really keeping the story in the public attention.
How was that, Steve?
Yeah, and I think the media creates these stories. The media decides what is a story and what isn't a story and how long it should continue on for. And these are decisions made in editorial rooms. They're not made in the hearts of people. As you said earlier, the vast, vast majority of South Africans honestly don't care. They don't care about this issue. They don't care about foreign policy. They're trying to survive during COVID. And someone issues a statement and a media journalist says, well, or an editor says, well, how can we keep a controversy going because it's good for readership or because it doesn't fit into my worldview and therefore I need to make a big issue out of it. And it comes down to it, news is created really by a few people sitting in the editorial rooms making these decisions. If you decide not to publish, the story goes away.
Well, I'm convinced by this, and this story is a perfect example. And I noticed it when the ANC put out their statement that no one responded. Nobody cared on Twitter. And normally you will get this massive, I mean, we know what South African Twitter's about and how we react to things that, that bother us. We don't keep quiet. We're not sensitive to nuance or anything else. We simply didn't care. And even the article that I wrote yesterday where I thought that I was going to get this deluge of hate. I mean, of course I did get some hate back, but I can tell you that most of the comments, and not from the Jewish community, from the broader South African community, most of the comments that I got back on Twitter, I see that News24 posted it on Facebook, which tells me as well that they want this to be a story because I don't always post these things on Facebook. Facebook was more negative, but Twitter, more people were supportive than anything else.
I think people are looking for any story. Parties are looking for any story to deflect from their current woes. And organizations are looking for a story that will propel them. Because even those organizations that support, you know, you'll see that for some of them, whilst they may state their view in support, then they'll go on and tell you about what work they do. So it's almost as if other people's interests are more important than the actual issue itself. And I think, yes, the media is certainly generating it. I mean, I've seen some emails where they're asking people for further comment, almost trying to keep it alive. And, you know, the media will typically email somebody and say, here are the comments that we got from so-and-so. Would you care to respond? So certainly some of the media houses are doing their best to keep it in the public domain. Personally, for me, you know, you may not agree with me, but I think it will sort of like, you know, die down in time.
I think so too.
And it could have died down a lot sooner. It could have died down a lot sooner. But remember, we may blame the media, but without people participating, you wouldn't have much of a story. So the question is, had the ANC got upset and nobody else said anything, how far would the story have gone? And that's what I always ask myself, is that...
So it's interesting. I mean, I take that to some extent as a criticism of me, and I'm not in a bad way, because it is something I often debate, and that is do I write about a subject, because I did write about it on News24, and they did push it out quite extensively, showing me again, exactly as Howard is saying, and as you are saying, that maybe media wanted to be a story. On the other hand, and I did debate it, I held back not writing on it, but until I saw that there was more and more of an attempt to showcase what BDS was saying and the ANC was saying, and I don't even know who the rest were, I didn't want that to be the only statements and articles that were out there. So I did think long and hard before entering into this, also knowing that truthfully, you know, you've got to have a stomach for it, because I know what follows this type of thing. The minute I put my name out there, I put myself out there, what follows is very unpleasant. And yes, I might seem like I'm not sensitive. Actually, I'm not, but I do it anyway. I do have to think long and hard before doing it. I think your point is valid.
I'm actually sure that was a very difficult decision for you to make, to even write that article, because I mean, you kind of want it to blow over. It
should. Exactly.
And the more people write about, there's like this push and pull where there are people coming out, more and more organizations are coming out every day saying that they condemn him. And then obviously now people have to also jump into the bandwagon to say that no, they support him. So I think this story is really going to stay in the media for longer than it actually should, which is quite concerning as well.
Yeah.
It will stay in the media because I think not because of the players around it, but because of the timing. If I take your mind back to 2017, when the ANC held its conference at Nazareth, the issue of downgrading the embassy was kind of in the periphery. But then President Trump came up and said he's relocating the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that made it topical. And then, you know, for the next, you know, month, we had every politician condemning Trump and saying that, you know, South Africa will downgrade, and we got that. Sometimes I think their statements that by themselves may be fairly innocent, but their timing is opportune for other characters. So if you take the statement by the Chief Justice, if he'd made the statement, let's say, 4 months ago or 4 months later, I don't think it would have mattered as much. But because the annexation issue is on the table, because if you read what BDS have said and the Council of Churches, they're not just talking about his comments, they've gone beyond the comments and brought in the annexation issue. So for me, it's gaining more traction because annexation wasn't in the mind of average South Africans, but now it's being thrown into the pot. And that is probably a far bigger story than what the Chief Justice said. And that's what's going to keep it. And that's why I'm saying the timing of it is in that regard, is what's going to make it, is going to give it legs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'd like to make actually 2 points. Number one, this isn't BDS. We have to remember that BDS South Africa embarrassed the international BDS movement to such an extent that they were kicked out of BDS International. And the reason why that happened was because of sexual misconduct, the failure to investigate sexual misconduct, and a cover-up that, in fact, BDS South Africa did over sexual misconduct. And that is why Bagruti, who heads BDS International, booted out BDS South Africa from the international movement, and that's why they changed their name. Now, anyone who associates with that organization is associating themselves with sexual misconduct and cover-up, and in a time when gender-based violence is top of our agenda in this country, it is an absolute scandal that anyone should be associating themselves with that organization. That's the first point. The second point that we have to
And Harold, we do need to wrap it up. We've got Harry Sideropoulos waiting in the wings as well. So make your final point.
I think the second issue is we just have to realize that in the grand debate, whether it's over issues of annexation or anything else, South Africa is completely irrelevant. We are an irrelevant country, far away from, we have no influence on foreign policy when it comes to Israel, when it comes to the media, the Middle East. We are completely and utterly irrelevant, and we can't be excited of that, and we can't get too excited about it. It is like a random stranger saying something with no power, no influence, nothing else, and we have to actually just get some perspective over this matter.
Absolutely love it. We do need to leave it there. It is 8:51. Howard Saxton, Lubomayo Kiso, thank you as always. It is 8:51.